You're listening to the world famous Sofa King podcast on KSVG 89.7 FM, Savage Radio, City of License, Mettler, California.
From sheets. I am. Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am. Sofa King.
Faster.
I am. Sofa King.
Not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am. Sofa King. With me, Todd.
You say funny things.
Hello and welcome again to another edition of the Sofa King podcast. This time we are on the radio.
Yes.
As opposed to being on the internets.
Radio. Suckers never play me.
my beverage was extra harsh for some reason. I'm shaking it off.
I didn't think we were going to get to starting the show. Brent was killing crickets while Dave was looking at him sadly with a tear in his eye.
like the Indian in the old littering commercials.
I only shook the rug. I didn't actually step on him.
You were stomping, sir.
It was a cricket earthquake. He's quiet, though.
He is quiet. He is quiet. You scared him.
So if you hear our special guest today is Jiminy Cricket.
Yeah. He's all hopped up on Brent's whiskey, too.
That was
somebody,
a mystery.
Yeah, somebody did drink the whiskey.
I poured a little bit in the cup, and then it was gone. And I did not drink it. It was just gone.
See, but the thing is, both of us have a memory of you taking the shot of whiskey. You're the only one at the table who doesn't remember drinking the whiskey.
I only do it when the music comes on. And I had to shake that off. I clearly would have remembered that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I would have the whiskey shakes.
I don't know. I remember it clearly.
I do, too.
Berenstein.
Did I just turn myself up?
We just now experienced an alternate reality.
His volumes are moving on their own also.
We got a poltergeist.
Something.
You have sausage fingers, Brad.
I do. I hit like three buttons at once. You see me try and text.
They're like short.
What's ASDF mean? That was as
peach-colored sausages. With fingernails on.
Yeah, the gay guys like my fingers. They're fat.
Okay. I don't even want to inquire as to what that means. So our topic today, gentlemen, is harp.
Like when you go to heaven,
yes,
they play a harp as you walk through the pearly gates.
For real though, I'm like, as a guitar player, I don't understand how people play the harp. I know we're not talking about the harp, but the harp is an interesting instrument. There's all those strings. How do they know where they're at?
Isn't it basically
like a piano?
Yeah, it's a piano. Yeah.
Still, though, they just have to, like, tactilely just know where they're at across all those strings.
Well, you can't
play higher
and lower. He solved it. Brent.
No.
Brent, I don't see what the problem is. Yeah. Brent
clearly
just broke it down.
The answer was
really simple. It's low to high. Very simple. You just got to know where to play.
I didn't even think about doodle-little-lottle-little-lottle.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that. All right.
But we're talking about a different harp than the instrument. We're talking about the conspiracy theories and the truths that might surround the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program, HAARP.
Don't get that confused with AARP.
Yeah, you add an H and you have a government conspiracy. You get rid of the H, you have old people.
Yeah.
Like that's the thing. So it's not AARP, it's HAARP.
What is AARP? It's like insurance, like life insurance?
It's like a consumer group that...
It's like Good Sam for RVs, but for old people.
If you're over a certain age, you can join.
I know you get those envelopes. What does it say inside?
I don't know. I know it gives you health insurance and different benefits at places and stuff. I don't know. But again,
what does your membership include? Benefits and discounts, award-winning publications. So it's just a sham for old people.
Triple A.
Yeah, it's like a triple A for old people.
Yeah.
How much do you pay a month, Dave?
Let me see. Join now. So we got.
I'm just kidding. That was a Dave old joke.
I'm actually not.
Oh, they don't even. Here it is.
He's not only a member; he's the
president. 5 years, for $12.60 a year. So it's like a magazine subscription.
No, that's not bad.
$12?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But the
harp. They don't give you anything.
Apparently.
Harp, however, cost $290 million.
Yes.
Which is slightly more expensive.
Well, that wasn't per year, though.
No.
That was over the lifetime.
After reading that, that's not that much, so it's considering what they do and how long they've been open for
yeah,
total operating.
Well, they're
cost.
Closed now.
No, they got rebought. They got transferred. Yeah.
Okay, so that's
not what I read.
Let's break down what HARP is. Yeah. So, is or was. So, let's establish what we can agree on as the truth about HARP, because it gets pretty wild. A lot of modern day conspiracy theories tie into what we call the HARP array. And again, it's for High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program. And from what I've learned, is it was an ionospheric research program that mm-hmm. was funded by the U.S. Air Force, the U.S. Navy, slightly mm-hmm. run by the University of Alaska, and the primary funding came from DARPA, and it was built by BAE Advanced Technologies, and the point of it was to
for everybody.
Do experiments with the ionosphere. So the range of the atmosphere from, I think, 30 to 600 miles is the mm-hmm. ionosphere. And they're doing experiments in the ionosphere with radio frequencies, with various radio frequencies. And the HARP array was 182 70-foot towers. And it had a pretty astounding output. From the stuff that I saw, it generated 3.6 million watts of FM signal, which was the equivalent of 72,000 of the strongest FM radio transmitters in America. Yeah. So it's the equivalent of 72,000, like, top-tier New York City, big booming FM transmitters.
Huge.
All at once.
They
have four bars all the time.
They do. They get
stop
really good
signals.
Stop
hitting my microphone stands.
It's the ghost. So the other thing that I did see that was apparently true is that the one thing that I do know of that they did is that they created the first artificially created aurora borealis effect in the atmosphere by beaming lasers and radio frequencies into the atmosphere and making a light discharge occur.
I just spoke
Catabusticabo to me. I don't even know what that means.
Like the Northern Lights. Okay. Like the big crazy, they like artificially made something like the Northern Lights happen out of HARP. It cost $290 million. Most of it was earmarked by Senator Ted Stevens, who, no surprise, is from Alaska, because it is in Gakona, Alaska. And it was construction started in 93, ended in 2007. And that is what I know to be factual truth stuff of HARP. Are there factual things that you guys ran into that I didn't cover?
Yeah, I started back at like Tesla. There was a guy that
you
took
mean
out
Nikolai Tesla, not Tesla Motors.
Nikolai Tesla. There was a Dr. Bernard Eastland that took out several patents, which is what kind of raised the attention of probably conspiracy theorists and people. He took out several patents that were based off of Tesla technology, and ARCO. Contacted him in regards to, I guess, a large quantity of natural gas in Alaska, mm-hmm. Because they wanted to somehow monetize that. They couldn't sell it, whether it's processing or transportation, or they couldn't facilitate it in some way. And they wanted someone's expertise to figure out what can we do with this. There's a huge quantity. And to give like an idea of what the quantity was, there was enough gas there at the time. And this is in the early 90s, like I think 1990 they originally contacted him. And it was enough gas to run the electricity for the entire United States for 1 year. Wow. In natural gas.
Yeah.
So he came up with like some civilian applications, some military applications, but ultimately it led to the giant antenna array. But that guy is a plasma physicist, and that started in 1994.
Well, and it led to that because that's exactly the gas is what powered the HARP station.
Yeah, and did you see what powers the HARP station? It's four tugboat diesel engines and one locomotive diesel engine is what they use to power that.
That's crazy.
Fueled by the natural gas.
By that natural gas in place. So they just process it right there, I guess.
See, and I had heard that they actually shut down in 2013, and they were actually dismantling it and sending the...
They did, but they were saved at the last minute. They did not dismantle it.
So they did not dismantle. Yeah. I didn't read that.
Yeah, because from what I read, they were planning... Because they wanted to shut it down, and the Air Force and the Navy didn't just want to shut it down. They wanted to shut it down and completely dismantle it so no one else could use it.
And you could find the conspiracy facts on it, like as far as like the mind control deal and the weather modification and all that stuff. But the actual facts surrounding the HAARP and what it did, it was kind of – everything was just kind of like a blanket statement. Like it was just developed to look at the ionosphere, right? Like, and that's kind of the research that it did, and then they were done, and that was it.
I watched an interview. The director of public relations, a guy named Rich Garcia of HAARP, said that this is his quote, "We beam radio frequencies or energy into the upper atmosphere and create a small scale of what the sun normally does." So they can superheat and actually like raise the ionosphere like miles into space further than it should be, which can't be good, right? Like the atmosphere has to rush in and like fill a void.
Yes.
And then they're pushing stuff out, like kind of punching a hole. It's like if you're inside of a balloon and then like pushing your finger out, you know what I mean? Like they're pushing that out. That seems like that has to be bad. But they can
Fill back in. I mean,
some of it probably goes to space. Well, I don't know. Yeah. Some of it probably floats away, you know?
Yeah, we didn't need that stuff.
Yeah, it's an important bubble we've got going on here.
It creates need more.
That part, yeah.
But their original proposal for HAARP project included anything from destroying missiles, communications improvement and or disruption, weather modification, and lifting portions of the upper atmosphere into space to attempt to deflect missile trajectory, and the ability to raise the temperature of targeted atmosphere up to 1,600 degrees, which is kind of gnarly.
Yeah, that is.
So they could make one spot in the sky, and there's a bunch of video.
Yeah, but from what I read, though, the spot, like according to the physicists that look at it, the spot that's temperature is raised is the spot directly above the radio array. Like they can't, I mean, the radio array aims up and you can't, it's not like
they just shoot a beam.
It's not like I'm in Gakona, Alaska, and I'm shooting a heat beam to Miami.
No, it's directional. Dr. Bernard Eastland, that guy, I watched a 30-minute interview with the guy that helped design the original array, and they do something called a dipole antenna or something, I think, specifically so that they can angle and aim that array in specific locations.
Mean that they did it, though. It just means
they do it, or else they would just be shooting at the same spot. It's and just the experiment would be useless.
So straight beam to wherever they want.
Yeah, they can aim it. I mean, they can't like aim it over to countries.
Well, no, I mean they can only aim it up above the array, like not necessarily in a straight line, but it's not.
They can at all angles of 180 degrees, I guess. Like
But when you're in Alaska, there's not really anything worth half a.
Yeah, I don't know. The sky above Alaska. Yeah, right, I don't think they can like shoot some.
Right, that's right. Like we can't. Angle to Russia, no, you can't aim it to Russia or Kerplunkistan or some country that
Colombia. That's
I have an uncle from. I have an uncle from Kerplunkistan.
Horrible. What's happening there? Yeah. Horrible. The tragedies in
the Kerplunkians. Yeah. They're all dying. Yeah,
they are. It's
plunk
awful.
Stew though. Some of the food there is great. It's awful over there. I can't get me enough of that plunk stew. No, but they can, I guess, reflect it back at the ocean. And there's some weird videos online, like they can bounce it up off the atmosphere and then back down to like signal submarines it's time to surface. Like they used it as certain types of communications. But I guess it is an important research because the sun and, solar flares and all the storms and things that happen affect the ionosphere, and we can't get like satellite signals won't come through. So they were
Because it either reflect or dissipates. Disrupts the signal. So it's gone completely.
And normally what would have to happen is you would have to sit there and wait for it to happen in nature. Like, oh, hey, a solar flare is happening right here where we're able to observe it at this time. Yeah. And it's kind of
so they create happening. One. They create one to see what
it's a controlled experiment.
Which is why, and I had mentioned this before the show, is there's, from what I read, and you guys didn't see it, but there was 24 different stations, HAARP stations all over the world.
No, I did see something on that. I saw that the thing that I saw said that there were five confirmed what they called
ionosphere heaters.
Yeah, ionospheric heaters in the world, and the video I saw actually announced exactly where they were and what governments owned them, and they said that there were 20 unconfirmed that they thought existed, but as far as this was a documentary on the History Channel, and it was a couple of years old, so they might have just confirmed a bunch of them. So I'm assuming your numbers.
I saw Russia, Norway, Puerto Rico for sure.
And I don't know how credible this.
The one in Puerto Rico,
But there was eight in Russia, four in Australia, one in Scotland, Sweden, Norway, Hungary, Romania, Argentina, Kazakhstan, Armenia, South Africa, China has one, and Japan has one among those, and then those that you mentioned also.
So, and the one in Kyrplunkistan.
Kyrplunkistan, that one is the biggest one. Yes. And then also I read that the one in the U.S. isn't the biggest one. So whether it was, I guess we didn't check and see ours if it's really still there.
It depends
there
on what time you're asking. Because I think when, like Dave said, 180 something antennas, right? It started out as 6x8 array. So it was only 48 when they first made it, but it got bigger and bigger as time went on.
Yeah, it ended up being 182 as of the last number that I saw. But the
that's pretty big.
Yeah. One of the reasons that conspiracy theories start to unfold around it, and I'm sure we'll cover a lot of the specific conspiracy theories because they get pretty wild. One of the reasons that the conspiracy theories come up, and I think it was sort of the it's the same thing with a lot of places. It's very secretive. Like most places that have had that much money funneled by the public, by the government, that aren't like full on military installations, like you can visit, you can show up, but they're very secretive. They're very locked door. They don't let visitors on who aren't like active military personnel or researchers. So anyone who sends in requests to visit to see what's happening at that array, they're turned away and they're not let in. So it makes the conspiracy theorists really kind of freak out, because other ones, like the one in Arecibo that we own, they let people in, like civilians can tour it, etc. So I mean that secrecy is kind of like Plum Island, the secrecy
Area
of Plum
51.
Island, exactly.
Yeah,
that's what makes everybody
the
salivate.
Government's doing research there. They're not just going to let you go in and
especially
take a look around.
If you're Jesse Ventura and yelling at the fence, I don't
know if
you guys saw that.
I did see that.
That's a pretty good Jesse Ventura. Yeah,
that was
tonality there.
Well, and to give you a grasp on how big it is, you said it was 12x15. Was the last? What was the last count?
182.
It spans a rectangle of 33 acres.
That's a bunch.
Yeah. So I mean, that's a big, big little piece of property.
Yeah.
Big little piece of property that thing is
And it looks surprisingly small. Like when you see like the aerial photos of it, it looks like this little speck of nothing, but it's because it's in the Alaskan wild.
Right.
It's like it's just being swallowed up by Alaska. But
33 acres is a pretty large
chunk. It's pretty large. And you see the building, which is kind of small in comparison to the array, but it's still, you can tell it's a decent sized building. But then when you look at what the building is, it's one of those massive domed telescope buildings, and those things are freaking massive.
Yeah.
And it looks so dinky in the pictures.
And obviously, we've never seen any of these in person, but I'm kind of imagining them to look like the big windmills that we have, like in Tehachapi,
right?
The big ones.
Yeah,
I'm kind of imagining that with like the antennas coming off of them.
Well, it says
they're
all 70 feet tall, so that's pretty good. That's a good size.
They probably used an iPhone because iPhones are more flattering if you get the right angle.
Yeah.
Probably.
But then they all link together to become one super antenna.
Yeah, I mean,
that's the net of antenna. That's the whole
thing. I think a lot of the conspiracy stuff is probably based off the fact that they originated it with patents based off of Tesla technology, though, because that guy had some outrageous claims in the end.
Yeah.
I mean, amazing guy. Like, I really feel like there's suppressed technology that has to do with him for sure.
But
of the stuff I was reading, like, he had conceptualized altering weather, encapsulating shields around the Earth to protect us from missiles. Using what? I don't know. Force fields.
What sort of missiles?
I don't know. Especially at that
time. That's a really good question. What missiles was Tesla worried about?
Yeah. I don't know.
Tesla died from missiles.
I think Tesla died before World War II even started.
Which makes it even scarier. Yeah. Because how do you know about missiles?
What do you know about missiles, Tesla?
The other things he said was, he could provide wireless power all over the world by those crazy
Epcot
Center looking antennas that just shoot sparks past your farmhouse.
Yep.
And then he even claimed that he knew how to split the Earth in half towards the end there.
Probably.
He was going crazy in his hotel room.
Well, he claimed he knew how to split
the... He wasn't crazy. He probably knew exactly how to do it.
His thing to split the Earth in half was like some crazy device that would...
The harp antennas.
It would continually build, like every pulse got exponentially larger.
And it would finally get so big.
They actually shook a bridge doing the Tesla thing. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
And I think it actually worried them a little bit. They were kind of scared doing the experiment. I can't remember if it was debunked or what.
Right.
But they had a thing that would like hit, like a hydraulic thing that would hit the bridge, and it could detect the harmonic frequency, and then as it moved up, it would move up and down, and it would change and adjust the rhythms in which it hit it, so it would get bigger and bigger and bigger, which there's some truth to that, but
yeah.
I don't know about splitting the world in half. I don't know. But you could see where I'd be scared with, like, hey, this guy had some ideas. He wanted to split the world in half. Let's build something based off of his plan.
And then it's like,
hey guys, try it.
Well, we shouldn't, like, who's this guy? Why should we listen to him? Oh, I don't know, the guy who invented the way electricity works in the world. Yeah. Like, oh, that guy? Yeah. Like, yeah, maybe we should give him a listen. You know?
All right, well, we'll go ahead and take a break.
Conspiracies are next.
Conspiracies. We will talk about the HARP conspiracies. So if you have your foil hat on, good. If not, you better get it on because your brain is going to be taken over by us.
Sucker.
We'll be back.
Robot Yogurt Drive-Thru is located at 3650 Gosford Road, the northwest corner of the Hagen Shopping Center. Robot Yogurt serves up frozen yogurt treats with a simple menu that changes daily. Fresh fruit toppings and vegan options are available. Open noon to 8 p.m. daily. More info at robotyogurt.com.
Norris Barbershop, Oildale's full-service barbershop, family-oriented, specializing in men and boys' haircuts. Hours are Monday through Friday, 9:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., Saturday, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m., located at 316 Norris Road, 393-5601.
Brian Smog and Automotive, old-style automotive repair shop specializing in smog check and repair. Brian Smog and Automotive offers general automotive repair, timing belt replacements, general maintenance and service, as well as electrical diagnostic and related repairs, to give customers peace of mind to drive in a fast-paced world. They are located at 615 East 21st Street. The number is 321-0505.
Are you interested in being a Savage Radio sponsor? Becoming a Savage Radio sponsor helps to keep us on the air while giving your business community recognition. Call our business offices at 873-5784. That's 873-KSVG.
Welcome back to the Sofa King podcast. And we were talking briefly before the break about Nikola Tesla.
Yes.
Nikolai Tesla and splitting the world in half.
It happens.
Yep. Yep. And how easy it is. And we're going to do it next
They sell
weekend.
A thing at Radio Shack, actually. Yeah. It's not that big of a deal.
To split the world in half.
9-volt battery.
Just make sure that before you turn the device on, you put your baby in a craft that is set for a world with a yellow sun.
Yes, and you have to be 18 to buy it.
Did you guys see that thing on Facebook? The parents left their, or the mom or whatever, left two twin three-year-olds by themselves with an infant, and they one of the three-year-olds put the baby in the oven and turned the oven on.
Whoa.
Did you guys see that?
No.
Did that take a turn for the
worse? Yes, that really did.
Yeah. I don't know, something on, you know, one of those things floating around on Facebook, you know, a news ad or something, or not a news ad, but like a news story, you know, I was like, wow. I was like, who would do that? And how'd they turn the oven on? Like,
knob? That's not
They're like,
hard.
Oh, the baby was, I guess the baby was kicking the door of the oven. Like, I'm just like, wow.
Did they get the baby out?
No, it's dead.
Oh, rough. Just
early Thanksgiving.
Rough.
Rough. Yeah.
Oh, ouch. Man. Darwin.
The Darwin Award just silenced everything.
Poor baby.
So for the conspiracy theorist out there, Dave's going to get into some of the conspiracies of HARP that we were talking about.
There's a very, very wide spectrum of conspiracies that come around through HARP, mm-hmm. and that's one of the reasons we wanted to look at it. And a lot of the conspiracy theories seem somewhat realistic
They're
and
plausible.
Practical
yeah,
to be
plausible,
to be honest. I mean, unlike a lot of the conspiracy theories we're looking at, a lot of it, it's like, well, I could, that doesn't seem that sort of far. Even some of it that did seem like a stretch once I dug into it didn't look that stretchy anymore. But the thing that really kind of legitimized to me some of the conspiracy theorists, and this is probably fuel to the conspiracy theorists, is that in 1999, the European Union, the entire sort of collective parliament of the European Union, passed a resolution calling that America give more information and do more studies on the effects that HARP is having on human health and the environment and risks to the globe. So something that the European Union found out that HARP was doing alarmed them enough to make the entire parliament pass an act to say, we need to know more about what you guys are doing, because it was somewhat alarming. In their filing, they said that they considered HARP to be an electromagnetic weapon, And again, this is from the EU.
I want to watch that meeting, though, because the parliament meetings are awesome. Yeah,
they're pretty awesome. They said that they actually included in there some scientific worry that the things they're doing with the ionosphere could alter the flow of magnetism around the Earth and permanently alter the magnetic poles.
That I believe that.
And that's one of the theories out there. And then the report actually says, and here's a quote from it, the EU, quote, considers HAARP by virtue of its far-reaching impact on the environment to be a global concern and calls for its legal, ecological, and ethical implications to be examined by an international independent body before any further research and testing is done at the HAARP facility.
Yeah, wow. And so through the ionosphere, we already send radio signals and everything. That's where everything flows through, right?
Right.
So what's the difference between that shooting a beam in there for, you know, however long they do it, and us using the radio every single day?
Power, like immensely. Well, he just said it's a power of 73 of the, or 74 of the craziest radio stations. I found a thing that's related
72,000
to
72,000 of the craziest radio stations. Oh, 72,000.
So that's the difference.
Yeah, it's way more powerful, but it's a short burst. Like, what are the effects of radio every day for years upon years upon years? You know, you think that would have some sort of change on the environment also.
Maybe. I don't know the physics, though. I don't know if a regular radio transmission is actually hitting powerful the ionosphere. But I mean, I know that the HAARP array is beaming it specifically ionosphere.
Let me give you an example, because I found a thing about radio topography. So this is a similar application of related technology. In 1983, there was a scientist named Brooks Agnew, and he used radio topography to locate subterranean oil deposits. So using 30 watts is the power that he used for his process, he found 26 oil wells over 9 states with 100% accuracy, and he used 30 watts to do so. Mm-hmm. HAARP uses 1 billion watts.
Right.
So 30 watts versus a billion watts.
That's a lot of watts. That power a mean subwoofer.
Yeah, they basically, the difference being that.
That's the split the Earth.
Yeah.
That's the Tesla subwoofer that splits the Earth.
That's next. So they direct 30 watts of that radio topography, you know, wave or whatever towards the Earth to hit like bedrock and whatnot. And what happens is certain materials resonate different types of harmonic frequencies. Yeah. So just like if you aimed a frequency at a guitar, you could get one string to go if you hit the A right. Like my guitars hang on my wall. If you hit the right note while you're talking, like one of the strings will go crazy. Vibrate. Yeah. And so what they figured out was they could uniquely identify different types of substrates that were subterranean by aiming this wave down. If it made this harmonic frequency back out,
it's this.
They're like, it's oil.
Yeah.
Oh, that's rock. Oh, that's dirt and muck or whatever. It's shale. Yeah. And they could tell what that stuff was. Well, this scientist said by any means you were to aim 1 billion watts
at the core
and get it to resonate at the correct frequency, that you could just shake the Earth, you know, apart. Like you could devastate and create crazy earthquakes.
Well, that would be the earthquake. Yeah. That would be the earthquake, which I think that when he meant splitting in half, I don't think necessarily clean in half. I think it would just be the Earth could fall apart.
Right.
Sure.
Well, it's like when an opera singer...
You shake the tectonic plates and they're going to move.
The opera singer singing and hitting the note and breaking the wine glass. It exists, but on some crazy magnitude of level that you have to like hit the Earth with that frequency. Everything has that resonant frequency where it will vibrate out of control.
Well, and this is one of the big... I mean, one of the biggest conspiracy theories about HAARP is that it is an earthquake generator.
Right.
And people think that they use it to hit tectonic plates and cause earthquakes. A lot of people had conspiracies going around that when the big quake hit Haiti, that it was a HAARP attack.
So the tsunami. There's some crazy interviews with dudes on YouTube that says that the Japanese economy was sold out to the Rockefellers, and in like a retaliation of someone like blowing the whistle on them, they threatened earthquakes against them, and that they like caused Fukushima. I mean, it goes tip top like crazy.
It does.
It's kind of crazy because like how do the Rockefellers have control of the HAARP station though? You know, like that, or do they have their own? Just nobody knows about it.
You're talking about $300 million. That is like chump change. Like $300 million is not that much to build that station. It might be like the creepy old man on Contact. They just have like
guess if they're billionaires. One. So
right.
Well, and I don't know if we want to get into talking about the place that makes them. at all, or do you have more on the conspiracy?
Well, just one more thing on the earthquake, which was something that I uncovered, was that the Ames Research, and this had nothing to do with HAARP, but it kind of led to some of this. The Ames Research Center at Palo Alto had conducted a study looking at earthquakes, and this is another thing that people actually use to connect HAARP to earthquakes, is they say that they studied 100 earthquakes, and almost all of them that were 5.0 or greater, almost all of them were preceded by strange electrical activity in the upper atmosphere that was visible and notable.
Yeah,
and
like anomalous spectrums and whatnot.
Yeah, they started to note this sudden appearance of these weird electrical phenomenon in the sky right before these 5.0 earthquakes. So a lot, and this was, they started doing the study in 2001, which would have been when HAARP was already active. And a lot of people say that these are earthquakes that HAARP caused.
And it could be they just noticed it. I've heard that there are reports of those type of spectrums and things, lights in the sky, and then it has to do with like electrical release of the friction of tectonic plates, because there's so much metal and whatnot in the in the mantle that when those things shift, it's like breaking asserts in the dark or something. You know, as they shift, it releases that. You know what I mean?
Because that makes more sense. Because I wanted to mention that, because it's one thing that conspiracy theorists use to connect HAARP to earthquakes. But I'm somewhat dubious, because they say, well, you know, because they're messing with the ionosphere and this and that. And it's like, but if they're using HAARP, you know, if they're beaming HAARP underground, you're aiming it the wrong direction to have an atmospheric.
They say they can bounce it back off or something, but think about just walking with your shoes on the carpet and you touch the doorknob and get like a 2-inch lightning bolt spark off your finger, right? That's Nikes on carpet.
Right.
And then there's like the entire Earth tectonic plate shifting.
Right.
And knocking buildings over and creating mountains.
Yeah.
It's reasonable to think that a lightning bolt would occur from the sky up or something. Right. I mean, there's probably another natural explanation. It's reasonable to
think that, but I don't think that's what, I don't know.
You think HAARP's doing it, you're saying?
No, I don't.
Because I'm saying it wasn't HAARP. I was saying those could be explained naturally.
I'm saying you can create it, because you can create sparks, you know what I mean, in a science project in a class, you know what I mean? So I think that probably HAARP could do something of that effect.
I mean, but just as simple as Brad and I's eyes glancing across each other and meeting has caused sparks for me.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, it does. You've got a lot of spark going on over there.
But there's coincidence to everything. And I think, and how we've come about all these conspiracy theories is when we start looking at them, everything kind of like, if you look into it hard enough, you can kind of create all these different scenarios that, that could happen or would happen or what might be. Anything that's secretive, people will be like, well, they have to be doing something that's devious and trying to, you know, destroy the world that we live in, you know.
And a lot of conspiracy theorists are just grasping at straws. I mean, I was looking at a lot of YouTube videos of like atmospheric anomalies and weird sounds that people are saying was HAARP, and it's just a bunch of random people with cell phones filming some funny cloud in the sky, or like they heard a sound, or there was a weird rumble in the ground in Florida in one of them, and like this conspiracy theorist just took all these news clips and all these random things that were posted on YouTube and put it all together and said, see HAARP.
Right.
And it's like, no, it's just a bunch of people. It's like there was some weird thing that made the earth shake over here. There was a weird sky. You can't just say all this stuff is HAARP. It was like most of the YouTube videos I looked at, it's like, and here's this weird sound in the middle of the woods in North Carolina, and no one knows what it is. And it's like, it wasn't HAARP. It was a weird sound in North Carolina. Give me a break.
Yeah. And that's people like, if you have something in your head that you want to believe, everything that you look at is going to lead you into that direction.
Right.
You know,
I mean, the weird sounds are obviously the Alabama booger monster mating.
Of course.
I mean, it's not HAARP.
Is obvious.
Yeah. That doesn't need to be said. That was obvious.
So you had looked a little bit at the people.
As I looked into HAARP, I mean, you get on and you start, you know, search HAARP, you know, what is it? HAARP project, start looking at stuff. And
the giant harmonica.
Yeah. And I started reading about it, and it kind of gets it over your head in science, you know, like I don't know what the ionosphere is, you know, as far as being ions in the air, it means nothing to me. And so I start looking at this company, Bay Systems, who designed and built the HAARP network.
Right.
So, I mean, simple as a click, you know, go to their website and you start looking at this place, and they're based out of London. They're a company that actually produces pretty much all technologies for military, government, and private companies.
Okay.
And it's air, land, water.
So they're a defense contract.
They are a defense contract. But if you look at their website, it's not really a defense contractor. It's like they create defensive weapons and, missiles. And I mean, they do munitions, everything. Pretty much that has to do with war.
Right.
But also computers, you know what I mean? They're pretty much in every aspect of everything that is produced, and they make it specifically for governments and private agencies on a mass scale. And they have, stealth technology, all that stuff comes from places like this, which I started looking at it. I'm like, wow, this place is like a real life Mission Impossible.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? They have the watches laser watches that cut people's heads off and stuff, like that's what they do. Like their generals on their about is like, everything is very basic. It's like, we design, manufacture, upgrade combat vehicles to provide ammunition, artillery systems, missile launchers, and global customer
that sounds
base.
Like a fun job.
You read that. That's one of their things that they do. Wow. And you're like, wow, they're Tony Stark. Yeah.
Stark Enterprises.
This is Stark Enterprises in real life. Like these companies do exist. And I started looking at the company and I'm like, wow, this is insane to think. You don't really think about that stuff. You know what I mean? Like, who makes the stuff for the military?
It's odd to me.
How much power do they have?
That it's London based. I mean, usually the defense contractors that build American weapons are usually American companies.
That's true.
That strikes me as a little bit odd.
It brings up the Jason Roskam theory too, like about how the government always contracts everything out. They do nothing themselves. So it would be harder to keep a secret if you're just going to go to London and hire some dudes to build some stuff and hope that they got your back to keep, it on the down low.
Yeah. And if you go to their, news and events page, I would almost guarantee that they have stuff that can't be put out to the public.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, for sure. But they have, you go to their news and events and it just, oh, we got this contract for developing this for the Marines. Oh, we did this for the London, the UK force, we built this, and we just got $253 million to make amphibious vehicles for the US. You know what I mean? Like, they post all that stuff publicly on their website.
Well, here's the thing about the funding and founding of HAARP that makes me wonder what's going on, and it makes me realize why it's a closed door facility and people can't come in and see it, unlike other facilities. And it's purely the fact that DARPA was one of the key funders and backers of the program, because we did a show on DARPA quite a while ago, but one of the things that DARPA is famous for is they only support and finance projects that they call, quote, DARPA hard. So if you're trying to do something that's hard to do, they don't really care. But if it's DARPA hard, then it's out there, bizarro.
Because it's an advanced technology that's not created yet.
It's something no one has ever done before, or DARPA wouldn't be funding it. If you just came and said, I want to build a pack robot right now, DARPA would say, yawn, it's done.
Right.
But if you said, I want to build skin that we grow with ceiling fans and lawn trimmings and we'll put it on our robots, DARPA would be like, now you're talking. So I mean that's the way DARPA operates. They only back weird, intense they get most of their projects.
They're like, we can split the earth in half,
right? Exactly.
Let's fund this.
Most of their objects, most of their funding doesn't ever come to fruition, but the things that do come to fruition lead to things like NASA and the internet and like these massive discoveries that DARPA
Mentos. DARPA was totally behind Mentos. That explains that whole Diet Coke
thing. But so the fact that DARPA is endorsing them means that their original pitch was to do some stuff that no one else was doing. So I'm sure the world was like, yeah, we have ionospheric heaters, but this one, .. like, we're going to do some really weird stuff with this one. Otherwise, DARPA wouldn't be involved. So I don't know what that pushes them towards or what that means they were doing.
What's the conspiracy with them having them all over the world, though, in specific places?
That starts to get into the weather control conspiracy.
Because you can coordinate like hot, high pressure, low pressure zones. So like high pressure zones, when you see that, when the weatherman's saying we have a high pressure zone here, it means that it's extremely hot. Like, there's a temperature variable.
Yeah.
And so they could create a hurricane. So like Dave was saying earlier, like if you have the dipole antenna type thing, you can shoot in the area above you, probably within not 180 degrees, because they probably can't shoot it straight sideways, but within some kind of pie wedge.
45 degree angle.
Yeah.
angle.
Yeah, so
or
they
whatever.
Can shoot it out, and if there's one just close enough to your right and just close enough to your left, they might be able to aim at the same spot. So if you're able to make a portion of the atmosphere 1,600 degrees, and so is Norway and Russia and some other place, and they all kind of shoot that in the same place and don't cross the streams.
Right, that's the key.
Then you can make it.
Don't cross the streams.
Yeah.
Or Gozer the Gozerian will come out and melt your face off.
Right.
But you could create a hurricane, because if you created some huge high-pressure zone, you will make a hurricane. Like, it will happen, you know? So you could modify weather with those crazy antennas.
Yeah.
So,
right.
In theory. It's all...
In theory.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't know if that's happening.
There.
Yeah. Well, and the tsunami thing, didn't the government make the tsunami? Wasn't that made
That's
public?
One of the conspiracy theories. I mean...
It wasn't made public?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Maybe. But that's one of the thoughts that's out there, is they think that the tsunami was either caused by an earthquake, which was created by HAARP, or they think it was a massive wave that was triggered by some other thing. But I mean, a lot of them point towards HAARP. At this
so like
thing.
Katrina was a massive movement HAARP. To produce better economics in California by getting everybody to move over here.
Maybe.
Something. So, it's more about depopulation, eugenics.
Eugenics.
Really, I think it goes into the Illuminati plot to destroy gumbo.
Those bastards.
All right, we got to take another break. We'll be back after a word from some sponsors. You're listening to the Sofa King podcast. Stay tuned for more.
Sandrini's Italian and Basque restaurant, located at 1918 I Street, offers a diverse selection of Italian and Basque delicacies, beer and whiskeys from around the world, and live music every weekend. For more information about concerts and events, you can follow Sandrini's at facebook.com/Sandrini's Bar or call them at 661-322-8900.
Bonnie's Best Cafe. Freshly made sandwiches, salads, soups, and desserts featuring homestyle casserole dinners to go. Bonnie's Best Cafe has two locations to serve you. 1900 21st Street, open Monday through Friday 9 to 5 for sandwiches and until 6 p.m. for casseroles. 1002 19th Street is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Phone number is 661-323-7224. And the website is bonniesbestcafe.com for their current menus.
Are you interested in being a Savage Radio sponsor? Becoming a Savage Radio sponsor helps to keep us on the air while giving your business community recognition. Call our business offices at 873-5784. That's 873-KSVG.
All right, welcome back to the Sofa King podcast. You're listening to the Sofa King podcast on our show. This is us, the Sofa
right.
Kings.
This is the show, and that's ours.
And we own it.
And you're listening.
And it's not worth anything.
To our show.
Three stockholders.
Which is us.
Yep, that's it. Put all our money into it, which is nothing.
That's right. That's right. We left off and we were talking about some of the ideas of HAARP and the conspiracies surrounding weather control. And we had talked about the fact that a lot of people think that if you use it to manipulate the ionosphere in certain ways, you can get weather patterns to happen. But one of the things, and this is a researcher that Brent had mentioned earlier, was Brooke Agnew, who's a scientist who's involved in studying HAARP and all that sort of stuff. And one of the things that he did is he's specifically a radio researcher. He's the one who did the radio tomography to find all the deposits under the earth, et cetera. But he says that his theory is that, and in one of the documentaries that the History Channel did, they interview him and they show him build a cloud chamber that sort of reproduces on a small scale exactly how clouds are formed in the atmosphere.
Yeah, you can do that.
And he ends up using a really small 100-watt ELF generator to send up into the cloud. And the cloud first gets pushed really, really high and becomes really dense. And then as the radio frequencies keep going, it basically just completely disrupts the cloud and makes the cloud vanish.
He did that from the ground?
He did it in a tube on the generated a cloud tube.
Yeah.
And then
it was controlled environment by a professional driver.
That's right. But then when he hits it with a radio frequency, he makes the cloud completely become microscopic and disperse, so there's no more cloud.
I was picturing a picnic table ET made out of the
It was just specifically in a lab. But then the other thing that he talks about is he he talks about, and again, I don't know enough physics in order to say whether or not this is plausible, but his theory is that if you have enough energy, which he thinks the HARP array would be able to do, beamed at one particular location, what you're doing, and this is part of what the HARP people have claimed they're trying to do, is you're, and you had mentioned this earlier, is push the ionosphere out.
Right.
Right. So his, what he says is that if you push the ionosphere out in one location, the stratosphere is going to push out to fill up the gap.
Right.
So as soon as the stratosphere moves up to fill in where the ionosphere was, you're instantly changing the weather patterns and you're moving the jet stream by potentially hundreds of miles. So his theory is if you can punch a hole in the ionosphere enough to move it out so that the stratosphere moves up to fill in the gap, you are moving the jet stream, which is going to cause crazy weather all over the place.
Yeah. Right.
The regular weather patterns are going to be disrupted.
Yeah.
And again, conspiracy theorists say much like is happening on a daily basis, our regular weather patterns are no longer there. And
so El Nino is caused by
HARP. El Nino could be caused by HARP. So even that same guy, you know, and he's got some legitimate credibility behind him, but his theory is they are moving the ionosphere. And if you move the ionosphere, I mean, nature abhors a vacuum. It's going to fill it in with the stratosphere.
It's going to happen.
And that's going to change everything. You know, the whole, you know, butterfly effect. I mean, if you're doing that big of a shift in the weather, it's going to have a big shift somewhere else. So that's part of it. So the conspiracy theories around HARP are pretty vast. And I mean, to be honest, I don't know that we're smart enough. Like, I think we're like, yeah, we built this thing and we can move the ionosphere. And it's like, what's that going to do? I don't know.
You know, like, that's kind of pretty much what it is, though, because it's never been done before.
Right. So it's like,
all theory.
A lot of what people are saying HARP does, I kind of think it might do, but I don't get on board fully with the conspiracy that the Illuminati did it on purpose and is kind of doing this stuff. Because,
well, it's a science experiment. It's how we learn everything. You have to try it.
They don't care, though. Like, when they're originally testing nuclear weapons and hydrogen bombs, they thought that it could just cause a chain reaction and burn all the oxygen off the planet.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, we'll see. And they did it anyway.
Well, you're not going to know if it did it.
When they fired up the Hadron Collider, they thought it might make a black hole and implode.
But we did it.
My thing with the atom bomb. You know, it's always said that the atom bomb was dropped on Hiroshima, but wasn't it a hydrogen bomb? Because if an atom bomb was dropped, there would be mass amounts of radiation.
Right. I think nothing those were hydrogen bombs. I think there was a big one.
Everybody gets their information mixed up and skewed.
And I know that Oppenheimer specifically, when asked later if you honestly thought this was going to cause a chain reaction and destroy the entire atmosphere, and he said, yes, I did. And they said, why'd you do it? And he said, within 6 months, either Berlin or Tokyo were going to create a nuclear bomb.
They were going to do it anyway.
Like, so it might as well be us who did it.
I could be wrong, basically. Though, but I think a hydrogen bomb just means it's splitting a hydrogen atom.
So it is an atom bomb?
It is still an atom bomb. It's splitting
not the radioactive version.
No, it's still flooded with radiation. I mean, there was just cancer everywhere.
How did people live, though?
Most of them didn't. I mean, there were massive spikes in cancer. Yeah. And it was a much smaller yield than anything we build today.
Yeah,
like by a factor of 1,000. I mean,
Chernobyl, you know, where spent waste. I think it's different.
In a concealed area.
Yeah, it blew up. It happened and it washed away, basically, where Chernobyl is more of a, you know, there's still stuff there.
Right. So all the conspiracies, just to read through, we've primarily been focusing on the weather conspiracies and on the earthquake conspiracies, because I think those are the two biggest ones.
Yeah, and those are actually pretty plausible. I mean,
they seem fairly all things considered, they do seem fairly plausible.
Yeah.
Again, I don't think there's some mad scientist who's doing it intentionally and is like, oh, we're going to create this hurricane that's going to make landfall here.
California is going to fall off the map.
Right? No, they're just like poking holes in the sky and seeing what happens. But some of the conspiracies, modified weather, they think that the HARP is supposed to be there to disable satellites and to deflect missiles, which they've actually said they're trying to do. That's kind of in HARP's mission statement. One of them is that they think, and this was what Jesse Ventura talked a lot about on his episode of Conspiracy Theories.
Jesse Ventura?
Jesse Ventura. He talked about the fact that he thinks that the radio frequencies can cause some sort of mind control and make people docile or make people hostile. And he thinks that harp is being used for some radio frequency mind control. We've got the earthquakes. We've got trying to cause droughts and storms and floods. And there's even some weirdness. People think that it caused Gulf War syndrome. Mm-hmm. And people think that it causes chronic fatigue syndrome. Hmm. And then people also blame the crash of TWA Flight 800 in 1996. On harp, and people also blamed the crash of the space shuttle Columbia in 2003 on harp, not necessarily intentionally, but that something that harp was doing made instruments go foul and made these planes come down.
In regards to the mind control, I don't think that they're able to like remote control do anything.
No, I think they should call it temperament control, because if they're talking about making you angry or docile,
right?
Well, what I was going to say is like in previous ones we've discussed, like the God machine, like they have that right. thing where if you induce high electromagnetic frequencies yeah. around your brain, you will cause like outer body experiences. There's yeah. all kinds of weird stuff. That's like the whole ghost hunter thing. They say, right. oh, there's exposed old wires and it makes you feel eerie. So you could induce some state of feeling using that type of technology, but I don't think that you could induce like a specified, like unique result that you're after. Panic though, or like
panic or calmness.
Maybe. I mean, it's a plausible thing actually, because that does happen and occur. And
we talked about the ions in the air and how they make you feel.
Yeah, there's
angry or make you feel refreshed. Like
there's
at the
a
beach.
Whole thing based off of like aromatic magnetic fields and disruption of magnetic fields and the whole like 60 hertz cycles and yeah. how. That affects our perception of time, and if that gets messed with, like time would seem by it like it went by way faster. There's a bunch of weird things that can happen with different frequencies on right. our body and how we feel. So I don't think they're doing that, but that it's entirely plausible. It's, that does exist.
Like Dave said, intentionally, maybe not. I think that there it's a science experiment.
Right.
I mean, what can we do with this thing? You know, what can we like? Oh, there's the weather's. We need to make rain. Like what can we do? You right. know what I mean? Like let's try poke to holes. It. Let's figure so this
I
out.
I don't know. To me, it's the of all the conspiracies that we've looked at, there's a lot to this one. The science is pretty robust.
Yeah.
And again, I don't think there's an intentional thing going on, but a lot of these things are plausible. I recommend looking up harp. And I know Brent had he has queued up on the screen some crazy sounds that are supposedly generated by harp.
Yeah, there's tons and tons of YouTube videos and apparently news stories. There's real newscasts. I found like CNN stuff of people yeah. being like apparently
yeah, but
all
Geraldo
over the world.
Rivera was real newscaster too, and
it was because his mustache.
We yeah, know, we know what happened with him.
His mustache picks up too many harp waves.
But they basically sound like the seven. Like there's a bunch of religious things behind it where people think it's a biblical.
There's
like,
always
sign of
religious
the times.
Things behind everything
because they sound like horns or something on some of the videos. But we queued one up just for an example.
Yeah, play this one. And this one's in Kiev.
Kiev, Ukraine. Yeah. So this is actually like the video kind of that started it all. So we'll
and there
play short.
Eight harp stations in Russia supposedly.
There are.
So
this all right. One. So be creeped out. Here we go. Which I do feel like the clouds are going to part and a spaceship's coming through.
Right.
Like, but that's the creepy noise. But it just, I mean, there's better examples of it. There's a bunch of videos on YouTube. You can look it up. However, if you want to save yourself the trouble, you can look up Chris White, who is a YouTuber, and he has a video debunking this whole thing, and he tells the story of what had gone down. So what happened is in I can't remember the year, but there's a movie called The Red State. I think it's a Kevin Smith movie, actually. But The Red State came out, and in that movie, some teenagers pranked a group of like Christians by playing through like loudspeakers some trumpet sounds that are very, very similar to that sound to create like a religious like hysteria, you know. And they thought that like it was the rapture,
end of the world, yeah.
And the end of the world was happening, and they yeah. caused some hysteria by doing so. Shortly after that movie, these videos became very, very popular. And what's cool is what this Chris White did. He looked at this video, which is one of the originals. He analyzed the audio, and what happens in this video, there's some very specific telltale unique markers, like a very specific bird chirping mm-hmm. In a portion of this video. And then he took all the other videos, and guess what?
They all have the same one.
Yeah. All of the other videos on YouTube is like, oh, now there's two hunters in the forest. Oh, now there's some guys in China. Oh, now there's this. they all use this audio. It's this audio waveform.
Yeah.
You can find the bird tweet. Some of them have cut out the bird tweet, but you can still find like the actual waveform will like match up the highs and lows and the frequencies.
It's funny how people on YouTube or just the internet in general like to hype up certain things. So they would go as far as to sit there and cut and edit this video like anybody gives a care.
Right.
You know, like it's crazy.
And then the videos, the videos that weren't that though, he actually has a couple other videos like, okay, this is not the
track.
Yeah, not the Ukraine video. But they went and investigated and like found out that, okay, this lady posted this video and she lives within this many miles of a train thing. And they went back and they're like, oh, it's the train with the brakes on getting drug. And it sounds creepy and eerie like that.
Yeah.
Another one was the person lived by a skate park construction. And they actually, some guy's like, it's nothing. He drove over like 3 miles over and filmed a bulldozer, like little
scraping thing,
concrete, and the scoop was just resonating this evil, you know, horns of God like sound through the forest. And then, you know, a couple miles away, it's just ominous.
It has we were at my daughter's softball practice, and a train went by, and this train's probably a couple miles away, and it's a loud, fast train, and everybody's like, "What is that noise?" And I'm like, "Oh my, what is that noise?" Like, it was creepy,
right?
And oh, it's the train. You know what I mean? You figure out like, oh, it's the train.
Well, plus
by.
Once some miles have gotten between you and it's like bounced off some buildings and gone through some trees,
it changes.
It's kind of echo and everything
change.
Out.
So like, I mean, like I said, like all the videos I watched of supposed harp phenomenon in the sky and whatever, it's like I'll regularly see some weird cloud in the sky. And then like that night on the news, Miles Muzio was all, oh, if you guys notice the sky, this really rare cloud formation called such and such. And it's like, that's all that these videos are. Some weird refraction of lights in the sky, all these weird sound clips or rumbling grounds, and all these people are editing all of them together on 1 8-minute video and saying, look at what harp is doing.
There was a really crazy,
proof of anything.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if you guys saw that video from the Middle East, but there was like the sea was glowing and there was like a tornado coming from the sky. But it looked like maybe it had like a tornado. There are those types of water tornadoes, but it was a very, very thin funnel cloud. And then everything below it was all lit up and glowing. And it looked like a legit video, but these days, man.
But it's hard with all the editing and the video.
I've been to the ocean and seen the entire ocean glowing because it happened to be the moment that there was a glowing algae bloom on top. It's like, I mean, stuff happened. And like I said, I mean, this was a conspiracy where most of the videos and most of the stuff that I saw looked like BS, like all the conspiracy theorists trying to be like, look at all this stuff with HARP. But when I really looked into HARP itself, I mean, it's a legitimate installation. It was funded by DARPA. It's built by a major defense contractor.
Yep.
It's doing experiments in tomography under the earth and potentially tomography under the earth. Definitely dealing with the ionosphere. I mean, a lot of the stuff people are saying about it, I think, is plausible.
Yeah, and I think the last thing is they handed the keys over to the University of Alaska, right?
Yes. So they were always involved.
Yeah, but they were if it was so creepy and that you'd have to like change everything. Yeah. You couldn't just be like, "Here's the keys. Damn, hope they don't find those skeletons in the closet." You know, like you wouldn't just hand it over
to
like
a public
university.
Bursts into pieces. It's going to be University of Alaska's
at the same time though, I mean, if DARPA was funding it, and it's like, well, we do have like the super space alien arc reactor that's sitting underneath it, let's just pack that up and take it back to Area 51 and then we'll let the university just use the antennas because we don't care about those, you know.
So that's pretty much it. I mean, the HARP deal, all the conspiracy theories are pretty much plausible. I mean, we all kind of believe that. But is there malintent behind it? I don't think so.
And do we have enough skills to make these things happen, to manipulate things intentionally? Yeah. Again, I don't think so either.
So that's all the time we have for this week's episode of the Sofa King Podcast. You can find us on sofakingpodcast.com. Leave any comments or questions you might have on our website or Facebook page at Sofa King Podcast on Facebook, at Sofa King Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. You can always hit us up on there and we'll get back to you. And we always appreciate your comments and your input. So until next week, check us out on the web. Thanks for staying tuned. Don't be a retard.
Skittles, prepare the vittles, got riddles and spittles, crystal clear to the jot or the tittle. It's hot off the griddle, came to take the cake whether it's a lot or a little. Kaboom, doom is nervous large, you could tell by his blooming room service charge. Dark and tall to boot,
The only thing was wrong is he was bald as a coot. Used to ran a van from Peter Pan to Red and Tan, and keep the human foot for his dead man's hand. This was when the mask was brand spanking new, before it got rusted from drinking all the brew. Stankin' too, pew. Kept all his earnings in the bank in a shoe. Spat what he knew, energy for true. To all fake rap, it's 23 skidoo. Excuse you, any room in the class front? Four blasts of the blunt, Truman since last month. Doom a human in the mask, born to stunt. Danger zooming past, mad fast on the hunt. Keep your streets, we got the city neatly conquered. Discreetly with the CD till they be completely bonkered. The fans demanded it, handle it, swallow it. His own brand of shit, if only he could bottle it. Nah, she could get messy. Feds try to torture him for the secret recipe. He said it's no use, I only know half. No speak of the English, I only do the math. Felt no pain, his brain was saturated with cocaine and Rogaine. He said try scam, no thing, three card dead. Fly man, go for bling, he got bled. Eye jam over sting, see spots red. I am sofa king,
we taught it. We taught Ed.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am sofa king.
Faster.
I am sofa king. We taught Ed.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am sofa king. We taught Ed.
You say funny things.